B-Pod Studios.
Stay with us and we're going to show you how to take dead aim.
Take dead aim.
The importance of taking dead aim.
Welcome to Taking Dead Aim, a show dedicated to the game of golf and the people who play it in the Carolinas and around the world. Taking Dead Aim is a presentation of RBC Wealth Management and Academy Sports and Outdoors. And now, here's your host, the guy who will grant you a mulligan, but then remind you about it the whole ride home. Ask me how I know. Charlie Nance.
Hey there, welcome back. Once again, we're Taking Dead Aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports Outdoors. Happy New Year. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter at CLT_golf guy. This week, real golf returns with the Century Tournament of Champions at Kapalua on Maui, Hawaii. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen and one of the most interesting golf courses you'll ever get to watch on TV. All the big guns are there, including Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson. Rory's there for the first time. One exception to the big guns, and that would be a certain big cat that, honestly, I thought we might see here. A lot of people did. Anyway, we'll talk with Ron Green Jr., who escaped the magnificent weather we've been having here in the Queen City to cover the tournament in the Aloha State. Also, we'll chat with Parker Melting. We first talked with her as a freshman in high school. Now she's a freshman golfer at UNC Pembroke. And we'll chat with Alan and Victor Wiggins and John Weston of the National Junior Golf Association, formerly the National Junior Golf Tour, about their rebranding and big plans for 2019. If you've got a junior golfer, you're going to want to hear from them. But we begin in Hawaii with Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer. So make me angry. Tell me how great the weather is where you are.
It's not bad. I mean, of course, it's windy. I mean, it's blowing 25 to 30 all day long. So it would be difficult golf for some of us. But, it's hard to argue with it. I mean, it is a little cloudy right now, but give it another 5 minutes and it'll be just fine.
Yeah, you'll be surprised to know that it's raining in Charlotte right now.
I was checking the weather there, and I saw that, and I said, boy, there's a shock.
Ron, 2019 has started, which means the new rules have come into play, and it seems like that's all anybody wants to talk about. When I was looking at them for the last 6 months or so, I never really thought there would be that much that would really impact the pro game. Have the pros decided anything's really going to impact them?
Well, I think, yeah, I do think there are some things, particularly like the drop rule. A couple of us stood there Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon with Ian Poulter as he talked to tour officials about how you drop now versus how you used to and different, vagaries involved in that. I think there's going to be pace of play is going to be impacted, especially early, because I think players are going to lean extra heavily on tour official, the rules guys, to say, all right, am I doing this right? I don't know how many times we're going to get it wrong, but there are no more hazards in golf, which is great for us because I tend to find a lot of hazards. Now we have penalty areas. So the nomenclature won't affect the tour players, but I think some of the things, the drop, like I said, obviously putting with the flag stick in, I think most guys will not do that except on maybe some long putts, Bryson DeChambeau being an exception who says he will do it in certain times. I love that Justin Thomas saying the other day that I just couldn't take myself seriously if I was putting with the flag stick in. I think it's a mental thing, a visual thing too. You got to be comfortable. I mean, those of us who play golf know how important it is to feel comfortable over shots. So if you're like a flag stick 12 feet away, you're like, something just doesn't feel right about this. But we'll see as time plays out. I think, places like when guys hit it in the edge of hazards and can go in there and take practice swings now and not worry about, kicking the grass and all that.
Furthermore, you can move loose impediments in a hazard now. I mean, there's all sorts of things that when you see them on TV, those of us that have watched golf and played golf forever, we're going to have huge gasps and go, oh, what are they doing?
Yeah, I think there'll be some getting used to it. Even for those of us who just play on a, casual basis, there's so many things. Like if you hit it into the face of a steep bunker and you're looking at like, I'm going to make a million here, you can take its two-stroke penalty and drop your ball out of the bunker. Now that's, if you're figuring you're going to whack it at least three times to get it out, maybe you do it. I don't think we would see the pros do that very often, if ever, maybe in one of those big sod-based bunkers in the UK or something. But, I mean, those are things that affect the average guy. I mean, I think most of us, as it is now, play, if you hit it out of bounds, most of us, if we don't know it's out of bounds, we're not going to ride back to the tee and hit it. You get the two-stroke penalty there and drop it out like a lateral, which is, I will have to point out, you won't be hitting three, you'll be hitting four, because I think people think, well, let's just drop it out, take one and go. Actually, you got to take two and go. But, you know, I think there's going to be a learning curve. There's a big poster in the locker room here at Kapalua that sort of details, hits the highlights of what's coming and what's changing. And I think my sense is it's more for the – it will affect us regular golfers more, and it will speed up play. You know, they want ready golf and all that sort of stuff. So I think it's a step in the right direction.
Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, our guest taking dead aim. It is windy at Kapalua. I've seen video of players in the last week practicing, and someone like Justin Thomas, who can hit it to the moon, posted a video of hitting a 120-yard 9-iron and coming up short, which was kind of scary. Is the wind forecast for the whole weekend to be like that, or is it just really blowing right now?
It's forecast to sort of calm down over the weekend. I think you get those trade winds. I guess they have the trades and they have the Kona winds, which come from opposite directions. But, you know, the wind blows out here a good bit at this time of the year, and they have gotten it. Now, the golf course is built with some of that in mind to play toward with the prevailing winds, so to turn some of the longer holes into, you know, holes that play shorter than their yardage. But the different part of it this year is the golf course is really soft. They've had a good bit of rain. You're not going to see as many guys slinging it down that 18th hole trying to run the ball up on the green because the ball's just hitting and stopping. They're still going to hit monstrously long tee shots on 17 and 18 and 1, which all play downhill. You know, feels like a mile downhill. But I think maybe with the exception of Cameron Champ or somebody, we're going to see – I'm thinking anybody's going to threaten Davis Love's all-time tour record, whatever it is, 460-yard tee shot or something from a few years back. But so it adds a couple things here. They lengthened one of the par fours on the front, the fourth hole, which has added about 100 yards how it plays to guys. So you might play a little bit different this year.
That's what I was going to ask you about Cameron Champ. I've been looking forward to him playing Kapalua since he won at Sanderson Farms. Is he still a curiosity somewhat to people covering the game who haven't maybe covered those tournaments or seen him? I just get an image of like Babe Ruth taking batting practice on the driving range.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because the driving range at this golf course in particular is just basically a cleared out patch of land that I don't think – I think he can fly it through the end of it with an iron, which, A, he can hit it a long way, but, B, it's not a very big range. I mean, they have somebody who actually sort of tapes himself up and goes in and cleans out the golf balls afterwards because it's just, I mean, it's, you know, in terms of professional tour events where you go and see practices, this one's just, you know, a carved-out patch where you can hit a few balls. But, yeah, I think everybody's anxious to see what he's going to do here because you can hit – some really spectacular shots, as Dustin Johnson was, you know, Exhibit 1A last year with what he did on 12th hole there. So I think Cameron Champ is a bit of a curiosity, and you know he's the fresh new thing, the shiny new toy out here in some ways. So I mean, he played so well at the end of the year last year, and now you know sort of turns this corner, at least calendar corner. It'd be fun to see what he does. I mean, there's only 34 guys in this field out here. You know, you kind of can't discount his chances.
You bring up Dustin Johnson. You know, the guy quietly wins three times last year. I say, you know, quietly because it seems like he ended the season rather softly. But I saw an interview with him down there, and he just has – I don't know if it's because he's rested and fresh and they all seem rested and fresh, but it just seems like he has that swagger, that confidence level that we see out of him when he's about to go on a run.
Well, I mean, he talks like a guy who feels pretty good about being here when we met with him the other day. And, yeah, I mean, why would – if you're Dustin Johnson, you show up here, big, wide fairways, you're coming off – what did he win by 8 shots here, I think, last year? I mean, you know, you're going to start the list of favorites. I think his name goes right to the top. And so why not? I mean, you're right. He He won three times last year quietly. I mean, he was, I know in our Golf Writers Association Player of the Year voting, he was a distant third behind Brooks Koepka and Francesco Molinari. But, I mean, he's, you know, getting ready to win. One more win, he gets to 20, which puts you, you know, gives you career exemption.
Yes.
And play forever. I mean, and puts you in a pretty darn select category as if he isn't in one already.
Another interesting name that's in the field. For the first time, it struck me because it's not like he hasn't won before on the PGA Tour, which is your entry into this event. But Rory McIlroy had never played at Kapalua. What has been his disposition this week?
Just jolly, happy. This is sort of a new, not just a new year, but it's a new place in Rory's career. I mean, he's going to be 30 this spring. And he's, I don't want to use the word abandoned the European Tour, but basically, yeah, he's sort of left the European Tour behind. He will play a handful of events over there, including the Open Championship, maybe the Scottish. Ironically, I don't think he's playing the Irish Open this year, but he's playing the PGA Tour. This is where his focus is. He said, I live in America. I have an American wife. He goes, this is where I need to be. This is where I want to be. He said, I'm sick and tired of waiting until March to start. And I come over here, and I'm 100th in FedEx Cup points. He said, I know I can play my way into everything, but he goes, I just don't like seeing that. So he's here. I mean, you know, traditionally he's played Abu Dhabi and Dubai, but, you know, he left a lot of money on the table that he could have gotten going over there, but this is what he wants to do. And, you know, the schedule being condensed the way it is, and he's trying to make a couple changes, talking about trying to play the week before major championships. He won't play them all. I don't know that he'll play San Antonio before the Masters, but, you know, he's going to play a big schedule, and I think he feels really good about where he is.
Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, our guest taking Dead Aim. He is in Hawaii, Maui, at Kapalua. Would this perhaps be a trend that we could see happen that could really damage the European Tour? I mean, you got to think that their number one stable pony is somebody like Rory McIlroy. If he has success doing this, and we all know that there's more money on this tour, is this something you could see happening to a much greater extent faster?
Well, I think, yeah, there's some challenges for the European Tour. I mean, they have to find their sort of spots to really get the top players. They've done well traditionally with that Middle Eastern swing in January. Then they've taken over July in some sense with the Irish Open, Scottish, and then the Open Championship, which is a really good pocket for them. And then now with the FedEx Cup ending around before Labor Day, September will be a big one, BMW PGA and things like that, backloaded there. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's a challenge in some ways. I mean, it's a ding to the European Tour. I mean, Rory said it to us, three or four of us standing there talking the other day. He goes, the European Tour now is a stepping stone, which I'm sure Keith Pelley just hates to hear.
Ooh.
But he goes, a lot of guys see it as, you know, that's the way you work your way to get to the PGA Tour because this is where it is.
Get you out of here on this. It's the question I guess everybody wants to know. When will we next see Tiger Woods? I assume not before Torrey Pines, but does he show up at Torrey?
I would expect he plays Torrey. I think it was, I mean, I have some, you know, somebody who would know said it was 90% he was going to play this tournament.
See, I had heard that too, that there was a possibility he would show up and play.
Yeah,
Kapalua.
I think there was, the expectation was he was playing here. I know some media colleagues of mine had made reservations fully expecting it was going to happen, and he decided to maybe wanted to just spend more time. You know, he had to go to Australia in December for President's Cup things. But I expect we'll see him at Torrey Pines, which is when I expect we'll see Jordan Spieth starting his year.
I'm not going to lie. I'm jealous. He's in Hawaii, and I'm not. Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer. And when we return, we check back in with an old friend. Perhaps the wrong word there. Parker Melting takes Dead Aim at the first part of her freshman season at UNC Pembroke, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're taking Dead Aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors. We first met Parker Melting as a freshman golfing phenom in high school. Now, she's a freshman golfer at UNC Pembroke, and we got the chance to catch up this week. Before we get to what's going on now, let's back up a little bit. The first time I met you, I think you were a freshman in high school, and you had just finished third in the state tournament. Is my timeline good here?
Ninth, but close.
Ninth? Well, third sounds better. All right.
Yes,
so anyway,
whatever.
Finished in the top 10 in the state tournament as a freshman.
Yes.
In retrospect, do you think that was a good thing or a bad thing in terms of, do you feel like it put pressure on you, or you put pressure on yourself the remaining 3 years of high school to outdo what you did that freshman year or not?
So I definitely put pressure on myself because sophomore year I didn't play as well. Like, my scores just weren't as good. So maybe that was because of pressure. Not really sure. But I guess junior and senior year I, like, conquered that and I got better. So maybe I just had to get over the whole pressure thing.
How old were you when you realized that when you went out to a tournament, you were the best girl out there? When was the first time you had that feeling, that realization?
Probably my first school match.
So, freshman year?
Yes.
I know you spent some time in high school playing with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
What is the state of girls' junior golf at this point? Is it good? Is it bad? Can we do better? Is it better than when you were doing it?
I'm not sure how it is now because I'm in college golf, but when I was doing it, it was growing. It was doing pretty good, I would say. Just tournaments are expensive, and that makes it hard for people to
I don't think
play.
People realize it. You know, as a parent of a golfer, I do.
Yeah, it's really expensive.
That's the hardest thing is that, you know, you want your kid to play in as many tournaments as you can, but once mm-hmm. you reach a certain level, it's really, really cost prohibitive.
Yeah, like I stuck to more of the CGA and PKB tournaments because they were just a little bit cheaper than like AJGA and stuff like that.
What are your thoughts on that? I've heard from but I talk to college coaches all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they all pretty much say the same thing, and that is, look, the AJGA is nice. It's sort of a Cadillac league.
Mm-hmm.
But go play in tournaments, and if, if you score low on the golf course and score high in the classroom, we'll find you.
Yeah.
Almost all of them make that same statement. Do you find that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. 100%, yes.
All right, so Pembroke,
I love it.
How did you decide on there?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I think I was visiting like 7-10 schools at the time, and Pembroke was the first choice, or not first choice, like the first one that I actually visited. They were the first ones to reach out to me, and I was just kind of like, I'm not really feeling it, because it's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But I'll explain later. Anyway, so I was toured other schools, and like nothing compared to the team that Pembroke had, or the coach, or honestly, our athletic facilities are so nice. So I decided on Pembroke. I visited like 3 more times just because I wanted to be absolutely sure. And I'm glad I chose Pembroke. I really like it.
Parker Melting is with UNC Pembroke. She is a lady golfer. I don't want to use women's. She's a lady golfer.
A lady golfer
with Pembroke. She's our guest taking Dead Aim. So what is it other than the golf? Because you've got to be happy the other 20 hours of the day or other 18 hours of the day when you're at school. What is it about the school that you really like?
Their school. I love my professors. And, like, I chose Pembroke because it's a smaller school.
Yeah.
Because I need smaller classrooms to really focus. That's just how I've always been. And I think our class sizes are, like, 20 kids versus if you go to, like, a...
That's smaller than your high school.
Yes, it is. It's way smaller than my high school. But if you go, like, I don't know, NC State, your classes are, like, 300 people.
Yeah.
And I would never learn a thing there. So that's really good for me.
I was the same way when I was in, I remember going through the process of picking schools, and my parents are like, you know, you really need to go someplace smaller. If you go to a state school, you're going to be missing in action somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to end up in some fraternity house, and that'll be the last time someone sees you.
You'll die.
So it was probably a very good thing.
Yeah, but other than that, the people there are really nice. My coach is great. Like, everyone on faculty really cares about you and takes you seriously.
Have you picked a major yet?
Yeah.
Decided what you want to do with the rest of your life?
I've known for like my whole life.
What do you want to do?
Pre-law. I'm going to go into the Air Force too.
I saw something on your social media the other day that alluded to that. And I knew, didn't you do some ROTC
yes.
in high school?
And I'm doing it in college.
Are you as well? And I thought, you know, I have never asked her about that, but so that is an ambition.
Yeah, I've always wanted to serve my country.
What do you want to do in the Air Force?
Judge Advocate General. It's a military lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've watched the TV show.
I have never seen the show. I can't find it anywhere.
Oh, Jack, it's available somewhere for streaming, I'm sure. Parker Melting is with UNC Pembroke. She's our guest taking Dead Aim. Again, I told you, I've talked with college coaches for years. And one of the things that they all say that's the most interesting about being freshmen is the adjustment period that all freshmen have to go through. For a lot of people, it's being away from home for an extended period of time for the first time, doing your own laundry, scheduling your own time, you know, to study, having to study. And being a college athlete. How was that adjustment for you? Are you still making it?
I FaceTime my mom every day. We talk all the time. But I don't think I've had friends that have had to adjust more just because, I don't know, I've always been a very free butterfly, I guess you could say. So I haven't had to deal with that. And then laundry's difficult. I'm not going to lie.
And Pembroke's far enough away where you can't, like, scat home every weekend to
do
laundry.
I mean, it's 2 hours. So there has been weekends when I did go home for laundry. But...
And by go home for laundry, we mean going home and giving mom your laundry.
Yes, thanks, Mom.
What's the biggest surprise, golf-wise, that you've run into? Was it a unique experience? And I know you played some CGA events, and there's, you know, talented golfers and whatnot.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you step out on the range, and you look around, and you're like, dang, every one of these girls can play.
I know. Oh, gosh, where do I start? For starters, okay, I never had a team in high school. You know, I was always the one-man team.
Yeah.
So having a team is so different and so much nicer because you have so many more people to support you. And they're all so supportive. They're a great team. And then probably our tournaments are more like vacations. Don't get me wrong, they're stressful because we want to win, which, by the way, we had a great season. But we stay at super nice hotels. We go to super nice locations. We get really good food, and it's great.
Where's your favorite place you got to play this fall?
St. Augustine.
Oh, nice. How long were you down there?
4 days.
Yeah, see, people don't realize how cool sometimes the life of a college golfer is. I took some clients down to Kiowa earlier this fall. Or maybe, no, it was the end of the spring, mm-hmm. last spring. It was right before conference tournaments. And we're sitting there warming up on the Osprey course. And all of a sudden, the University of Virginia women's golf team, their van pulls up. And they just make their way out. Just hanging out at Kiowa for the weekend. We're like, you have a tournament here? They're like, no. We played a tournament down at Hilton Head, and we're just staying here for a day on our way back. I'm like, are you kidding me?
No, that's what we do.
What are we talking about?
We usually go to our Florida tournaments a day early so we can spend a day on the beach. It's awesome.
How'd the first semester go? First, let's start academically, because that's what your parents care about.
Academically, it went well. Not going to lie, I should have gone to class more, but I finished with a good GPA.
Isn't it great, though, when you realize that you can miss a class and no one's going to, no one's going to call your mom. No one's going to do that. I remember that was like, it was almost liberating.
That's the point.
Yeah. It was almost liberating.
Because you keep missing and then you're like, oh, this is great. I could go to the range and practice and not go to class.
And then you find out you're behind and oh my God.
No, but I finished really well.
Okay. Well, how did golfing go for you?
Really well. Let's see. First tournament, I had a couple high scores on day one, but I always brought it down on day two. And we finished really well.
That's great. So golf in college is year-round. Do you guys pick things back up in the spring as well?
Yes. We start we had, 5 tournaments in the fall, and we're going to have 7 in the spring. So 7's when we have our conference, which is actually at the World Golf Hall of Fame, which is super cool.
So you're going back to St. Augustine, Florida.
Yeah. No, we're in Florida, I think 4 or 5 times in the spring.
It's a lot warmer down there than here.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to be traveling a lot.
That's great. Get you out of here on this. Parker Melting is a lady golfer for UNC Pembroke. She's our guest taking Dead Aim. Now that you're a college athlete, and I know you have ambitions after college, but you're still playing golf, do your summer plans change? Because I follow you, of course, on social media, and I see, you know, Parker has always been the best social butterfly girl ever. I mean, she loves to go out with her friends, loves to go to the beach, loves to do all that. But okay, I need to play more golf in the summer.
Absolutely. I only did the junior golf circuit last year, but I really want to do some tournaments this summer. Like, me and some of my teammates have talked about doing some together. So, like, the USAM amateur events, stuff like that.
She's one of my favorite people, a heck of a golfer, and a heck of a young lady, too. From UNC Pembroke, that's Parker Melting. Up next, Alan and Victor Wiggins and John Weston of the National Junior Golf Association take dead aim at the rebranding of their junior tour and big plans for this upcoming year. Presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors. We are Taking Dead Aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors. The National Junior Golf Tour, NJGT, has been around for years. Now, with the new year, a new brand, and big plans, Alan and Victor Wiggins and John Weston join us now. Alan, we've known each other a long time, but I've never really gotten the full story. Let's back up a little bit. Tell me the history of what is now NJGA, but was the NJGT.
All right, sure. Well, the history was, y'all know my son, Victor Wiggins. I started him off in junior golf, and I seen that he liked it and was going to do good at it. So I took him to a drive, chip, and putt competition up in Winston-Salem. And we met a guy up there who had this junior tour, so we started playing on it. And I wanted him, I said, come down to the Charlotte area, and let's get something going. Well, I went to meet him, and I come out owning the whole tour.
Well, he's a heck of a salesman.
Yes, he is. So, and that was back in 1999. And we've been in business ever since then and doing a lot of good. So,
you know, back up a second. You say drive, chip, and putt competition. Yeah. Now, this is long before Augusta National got involved and threw their weight behind it. And we both know how huge that's become and what a great thing for junior golf was. Yeah. It is. What was drive, chip, and putt like back in 99?
It was still good. You went out and you had to qualify like three different times to get to go down to Florida. And Victor made it past a couple of them, but my other son who goes to Gardner Well, Patrick Wiggins, he plays golf up there, he won the national drive, chip, and putt competition in Orlando at Disney World.
No kidding.
That was pretty cool, yes.
Victor, is that hard to take, the fact that you choked under pressure, but your brother was able to pull it off?
A little bit.
All right. Alan Wiggins, Victor Wiggins, and John Weston are our guests. They're part of the NJGA, the National Junior Golf Association Tour. Is that what it is? The A-Step Association?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Formerly NJGT. They're our guests taking dead aim. So that's the history of the program. Now, you've also had, there's a lot of people that have come through here.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people. We've gotten way over 500 scholarships for kids. And it's, you know, or helped in some way, you know, with writing a letter or calling the coach or taking them down there with a visit. I've done that a lot with them as well. And Harold Varner come through our tour, who's on the PGA Tour right now and doing very well. He played with us ever since. In fact, I got a picture of him and Victor when they was like 9 years old, you know, playing.
I've heard stories before of you guys picking Victor up in the morning and picking up Harold.
Yeah.
And he and Victor going and playing golf all day and then you just pick him up at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and we'd be running the tournament and them two would play in it. And when they got done, they had to wait on us for the tournament to get ready. So they was on the putting green the whole time or chipping or doing something out there. So he was playing golf out there.
And before you think I'm giving Victor too hard a time, Victor was an all-world golfer at UNC Charlotte when they made that great run in the NCAAs a couple of years ago. And as we're recording this, Victor's down on the South American tour. He's down in Peru right now. So Victor's actually running with us international today. John, how is it that you're involved in this?
Well, I met Alan through work approximately 18 years ago. And what started off as a favor, Victor was trying to qualify for, I believe, the North Carolina Amateur. It was being held out at Ballantyne Country Club. And Alan knew that I was in golf, grew up caddying as a young kid back up in Ohio, and just asked me if I'd be willing to caddy for Victor for that one event, because Ballantyne is a fairly hilly, lengthy course to walk.
So, and you got to have some knowledge of what's happening out there,
so
too.
I said, sure, let's give it a shot. I've never met Victor, no idea who he was. I think for the 2 days he shot a 7-under, 2-day score, won his division, and what turned into a favor kind of turned into a little bit of a hobby, and it became a, hey, available next week? Are you available next week? And with the tour now marking its 20th anniversary, Victor and I have been speaking about this, and we kind of wanted to do something a little different and kind of bring that PGA feel to the events. And I think some of the things that we're looking at doing are going to accomplish just that.
Victor, imagine how great your success at Drive, Chip, and Putt would have been if John could have been on your bag. I am never going to let that go, by the way. So anyway, let's talk about the rebranding of the tour. Okay. It's been NJGT for all the years that I've been involved with you guys. But all of a sudden, we talked a few weeks ago. I noticed a change in an email that came through. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the change, the impetus for it, and our vision for it. So why the change?
Well, the change is we want to do more than junior golf than just hold golf tournaments. We want to be able to show the junior, get him ready for that next level, whatever that may be. If it's just when he wants to play weekends with his dad, or he wants to play junior high golf or high school golf and on to college, we want to help him every step of the way. And by being an association, I think we can bring in the swing coaches can come in. And we just do a whole lot more with association that we get, like, branded that way instead of a National Junior Golf Tour, where people just think we're a junior tour and that's it. We want to do a whole lot
more of
more.
A full service,
full service
operation than just, hey, we're not just running tournaments.
Right.
Here.
Yes, definitely. You know, that's what we
want
to do.
Well, that's a heck of a resource. You know, it's very, you know, everybody knows my son plays and plays with you guys, and it's, you don't know sometimes how to navigate the whole thing of getting to the next level or even where to start.
Yes,
so the fact that
difficult.
You guys are able to provide that kind of service, or just be able to crack open a door,
right.
Is you know, unbelievably good.
Yes, you know, and it's I love helping these kids out with scholarships and stuff, you know, and not only Harold Varner on the PGA, we got JT Poston, we got Caitlin Downbrough, who has broke every record at South Carolina. And she's out there playing pro now. And I looked at the amateur standings a couple of weeks ago, and at the top 10, we had 4 in the top 10 amateurs. And I thought that was pretty cool.
That's pretty dang good.
Yeah, led by Thomas Wash, who is burning it up right now out there. So he won the ACC championship, and he's just doing really, really well. So.
Alan Wiggins, Victor Wiggins, and John Weston are guests taking Dead Aim. They are running the National Junior Golf Association. Let's talk about, I've always been impressed when you make that, you know, your first step, your first entry into, I guess, junior golf that you first hear about is playing U.S. kids. And that's great and wonderful. And then, but what happens is you start to go, you know, we can do better with some of these golf courses. Mm-hmm. And what I've always loved about your tour is, man, there's some really, really great tracks. I know that your tour is the only one that gets to play at Rock Barn every year in terms of a junior tour. And that is a spectacular treat and a great venue. I know that we have an event coming up. What is it? 2 weeks from now down in Myrtle Beach at TPC?
1 week. It's a
week and a half.
Week and a half. Thanks, Victor.
Okay. There you go, Victor. TPC Myrtle Beach, which is an awesome track. And
you guys have been out there before.
Yeah, we was out there last year.
In the spring,
And so we're coming back again this year. And we kind of cut a deal with them where we can be down there every year between February and March of some type. So we'll be down there every year. We've got Grand Dunes coming up as well. Which is another great golf course.
That's another great track.
Yeah, and that's coming up, I believe, in March. And we're looking forward to that as well. And we got a lot of good golf courses coming up. I think Victor just talked to True Blue today. We're going to come down there and play. We got River. What's one in Charleston?
Rivertown.
Rivertown in Charleston.
And, Savannah Harbor.
Yep, and Savannah Harbor, we're going to be going down Savannah, too. I love
so
Savannah.
So much more of a regional tour as far as locations than we – not that you haven't gone to these locations in the past, like you mentioned, Myrtle Beach and Rock Barn and whatnot, but this is much more regional than you've been.
Right, yeah. It's going to be a whole lot more regional, and it's going to take us a few months to really get it there and do everything, but I'm so excited. I got, you know, Victor, my son, now – right there with me, and Patrick, my other son, he's going to be involved with me. In fact, he's going down with me next week with me and John to run that tournament. I can't express how proud and happy I am to have my two boys in this business with me. It's just that's awesome.
Well, there's the one that won the Drive, Chip, and Putt, and then there's Victor.
You know.
Victor's literally going to hit me over the head with a 7-iron when I see him next.
Victor ain't going to leave that
down. I'll admit it. Patrick is a better golfer than me.
Oh, stop it.
Well, he can hit the ball further than Victor, but Patrick can kill the golf ball. That is for sure.
Well, and that being said, look, if you ever meet Victor, the thing that shocked me, and I've told Victor this story, I remember that team from Charlotte that mm-hmm. made its run. And I talked with Coach Cabbage two or three times a year and had him on the show. And he would always talk about this guy, Victor Wiggins, and you would see the stats. And about a year ago, in fact, it was at TPC, I met him but did not put two and two together. He just introduced himself as Victor, and we got to talking. And I was sitting there going, who is that really little scrawny guy who's over there? And then I went, oh, my God, that's Victor Wiggins. Yeah. So, look, Victor is one of these guys that you look at and go, he couldn't hit it out of his shadow, but it's not like he's only hitting it 240. Victor right. can pump the ball out there.
Yes, he sure can.
Which really makes me angry because good backs are wasted on the youth.
Yeah. Coach Cabbage used to tell me the cut line when you went down the center of the fairway, him and the assistant coach would take bets of what side he would be on, how close to it. He said because he'd always be like a foot on one side, a foot on the other side. You know, hitting it straight down the middle.
So. I hate people like that. Victor Wiggins, Alan Wiggins, John Weston with NJGA are our guests taking Dead Aim. So in addition to the regional, you got your start wanting to get the tour from Greensboro, Winston-Salem down to Charlotte. Are we still going to have tournaments in the Charlotte area?
Oh, yes, definitely. We've got we're going to be at Raintree. We got a date coming up with them. We just haven't set the dates yet. And there's going to be several tournaments. Victor, you want to follow up on some of the tournaments here in Charlotte?
Yes, we are working on Firethorn Country Club. We are working on TPC Piper Glen. We also, I think we confirmed Skybrook today.
Nice. We did this morning.
Yep.
So. We got Kermiter Mountain coming up.
Yeah, which is an awesome golf course.
That is a great golf course.
Yes, that is just a great golf course.
Deerbrook as well.
Yeah, and we got Deerbrook.
So lots of venues still here in the Charlotte area. I just didn't want people to think that it had become a regional tour and didn't have its basis here in Charlotte. But
Charlotte is our base. We want to keep Charlotte here because there really ain't, but Charlotte, the courses here have not been junior friendly.
No.
In the past, and we want to change that. And by going to association, we hope we can go in and meet with the courses, and they understand our vision of junior golf. Now, I know it's financial for them a lot of times, and they don't want to let their members or a member we can't, you know,
right.
their members go. But if we sit down and show them the numbers, we can show them where they're going to make money and plus have junior golf there and just be awesome, you know. So.
Well, and honestly, and I'm gonna speak out to every club right now. Look, it's part of our job to leave things better than how we found
Definitely.
It. Definitely. And it's part of our job to grow this game. If you love this game, you got to grow the game. And so hopefully they'll recognize that.
Yeah.
Victor, you know, you're down in South America right now. You've got your career and your aspirations that you're doing. What really is your passion about being involved with this? What has made you say, you know what, Pop, I'm going to come and help you do it?
Well, this is something I've always dreamed of helping my dad with the junior tour and also playing professionally. And the time just happened to be right, and we started to, you know, dig in. I like helping kids. I love giving back to the game. I want to grow the game. And from a junior standpoint, I think there's so much more to be done. And I think the National Junior Golf Association will offer that.
One thing I wanted to bring up before we let you guys go is, and this is as a parent of a golfer, and I had a Parker Melting in earlier today, and we were talking about this.
She played with us.
Absolutely. We were talking about, you know, mom and dad, we get it. This is not the cheapest hobby and cheapest thing for your kid to do. And one of the things, we mentioned all these great courses, but let me tell you, in addition to these great courses, mom and dad, you'll look at the prices of the tournament and go, oh, we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I can't thank you enough, and I know that's very important to stress, and you guys have always done a good job with that.
Yeah, we try to keep the prices down because I was a parent. You know, I had to pay for all – I mean, I didn't get it free either. Yeah. I had to pay for all of it, and it does get expensive. And so we try to keep the prices down. Now, as we go to some of these other golf courses, you know, they're going to charge us a little bit more, so we got to charge a little bit more. But it's always going to be within reason. It's always going to be within reason. We'll be doing 2 days and 1 day events. We're not going to leave our 1 day events alone. I can't thank Cherry and Civil enough for stepping in when I've been fighting this cancer, and they've done a super job, and now it's I'm ready to get it back to where it was or better than what it used to be.
Yeah, he's speaking of his brother Terry and his wife Silva, Terry Wiggins and Silva Wiggins, who have just been fantastic running this tour the last couple of years as Alan has been fighting cancer. All right, before we let you go, let's get the website out there.
Okay.
What is it? National Junior? I always nationaljuniorgolftour.com, but has it changed?
You still can do nationaljuniorgolftour.com, and it'll take you right to the to the website as well, but you can also put National Junior Golf Association intake. So both of them, nationaljuniorgolfcourse.com or nationaljuniorgolfassociation.com, you'll get the same page.
You can sign up, see all the tournaments there. I can tell you from experience, this is a really good junior tour for your junior golfer to get involved with.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it. Everything, and we're looking forward to having John and helping us and my two sons. I'm proud daddy.
Again, go to nationaljuniorgolfassociation.com, and if you've got a junior golfer, you can do a lot worse than to get involved with Alan and Victor Wiggins and John Weston. I'd also like to thank UNC Pembroke's Parker Melting and Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer from Hawaii, where he is definitely roughing it, for their time and insight this week. Hey, reminder, should you just be catching the last little bit of the show and wonder what all we've covered today? Absolutely no worries. Just subscribe to the Taking Dead Aim podcast at Apple Podcasts, and it will automatically download to the device of your choice most weeks, just minutes after this terrestrial radio version of the show finishes airing. Additionally, a great source of constant golf updates is our Facebook page. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Just search Taking Dead Aim. On the page right now, links to stories about Patrick Reed's Masters menu, Vijay Singh's insane workout routines at age 55, and the top 9 courses to play at Myrtle Beach. Weather-wise, I can't believe I'm able to say this. You should be able to find time and weather to tee it up and let this game continue to haunt your soul and break your heart all weekend long in the glow and warmth of the sun. And if you do put a peg in the ground, remember to exhale, swing, pose, and keep it in the short grass. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter at @CLT_golf guy, and I'll see you right here next week, Taking Dead Aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.